A person is supposed to begin by thanking their host. And in this situation, we're actually privileged to have two of them. We have not only Hakel Bichlal, but Project Inspire Bifrat. I'll tell you exactly how I was planning on opening. I'll use it, I'll mention it. And then I'll tell you what happened about 2 minutes ago as I was walking in that should make the opening that much more interesting. When they asked me to fly in from South Florida, all right, it's not like coming in January, but the weather very compatible to what I left. There's going to be an organization called Hakel, and for that I have to single out Rabbi Mordechai Gelber. May the Ribbono Shel Olam grant Rabbi Gelber, Rabbi Mordechai, many, many more gesunte decades to continue Harbatas HaTorah on such a grand scale. So they said, come for Memorial Day. You know, there's many shiurim, and you'll be introduced to an organization called Hakel. So I thought, everybody knows the famous story about the fellow who was in a predicament. He absolutely loved the Yankees, like, forgive me in a shul and a beis knesses for saying that, but to him, the Yankees, they were the end-all, be-all. And they're in the World Series, and it's coming in Kippur, and the seventh game is going to be the night of Kol Nidre. And he's terribly confused. So he goes to his Rav, and he says, Rav, Rebbe, what should I do? You know how I feel about the Yankees. And the seventh game of the World Series is the night of Kol Nidre. Like, I'm torn. I'm totally flummoxed. What should I do? So the Rav lovingly puts his arm around his balabas. I understand the dilemma. The seventh game of the World Series, the Yankees, Kol Nidre. That's why there's the creation of the video, the VCR. And he looks with wide eyes at his Rav and says, you mean you could videotape Kol Nidre? When they told me that I was coming to an event on Memorial Day, and now I'm being serious, I'm not being facetious. And they told me that there was going to be hundreds of Anoshim Chashuvim and Anoshim Tzidkaniyos. Upstairs they are, downstairs they are, filling the entire Beis Medrash. I said to myself and my family, I want to come to see it to believe it. Because if there is taka such a thing that on a legal holiday, mail, if it was the first time Rabbi Gelber and Hakel was doing this, it's the mystique and the novel. People wanted to come. But it's already the longest time Hakel's been here. A number of times a year. And that still, hundreds upon hundreds of men and women come. Lishmaya estivar Hashem, ein milim b'fi. I am speechless. And so as my father Zatzal, Harav Mordechai Shapiro, many of you, I'm looking around, remember him, as my father used to say, Mi yodea mi machazik esmi. I hope in the next 45 or 50 minutes, Project Inspire will be inspired together. But I thank you for the chizuk that you've given me. Because really, I guess according to the joke, you could have all sent, listen, there are plenty of tape recorders and machines over here. You could have sent all of those. You could have done all the things on Memorial Day. You could have had this meal, that barbecue, and no one had to show up. That hundreds of men and women should show up is to me an incredible, incredible davar. What makes the introduction for me that much more interesting was, as I was walking in and a number of people had to leave, perhaps there were other things going on, so I guess, you know, I didn't want them to see me to feel awkward. They're leaving, I'm walking in. So I definitely know they didn't feel awkward, for one person turned to me and said, you know who the next speaker is? So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming. You have no idea how inspired I am. And that leads us to what we're going to talk about this morning, Project Inspire. One cannot begin without thanking the director, Rabbi Samson. I just had the schus of meeting Rabbi Samson, and already it's been my gain and my kavod. In addition to Rabbi Samson, the director, I want to thank Rabbi Trapp, I want to thank Cecilia. She did a tremendous amount to make today a reality. And in Eretz Yisrael, there's Yossi Friedman, who dealt with me back and forth. To the four that I mentioned, and the many others that I didn't, may the Ribbono Shel Olam repay you, that just as you've dedicated your lives to inspiring others, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant you Birchas HaGofen, Hatzlocha, Gizunt, Parnosa, and Nachas. In Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Hashmi'ini es koilech, ki koilech orev. Literally, that means the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I will listen to your voice because your voice is so sweet. Hashmi'ini es koilech, ki koilech orev. You have a sweet, a melodious, and a pleasant voice. And so the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm going to listen to that voice. Says the Heilige Radomsker Rebbe, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, it's a pshat from the Radomsker, you can fasten your seatbelts right about now. Says the Radomsker that the word Orev is not only from the word Vaharevno, which means sweet, but it's what Project Inspire is all about, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebozeh. Arevus means, I'm responsible for you, and you're responsible for me. And the hundreds of us in here are responsible for the millions that are out there. Let's get that straight. They are our responsibility. End of story. Says the Radomsker, Arev is from the word Arevus, guarantor responsibility. And now let's revisit the Pasuk. Hashmi'ini es koilech. When will the Ribbono Shel Olam listen to our tefillos? Ki koilech orev. When our voice is one of arevus. When our voice is one of kol yisrael arevim zebazeh. It's wonderful for me to daven and you to daven. But if it's not with a sense of achrayus, if it's not with the deep sense of responsibility, that what's going out on out there is my achrayus, we don't stand a chance. Zokta Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashmi'ini es koilech. I'll listen to your call, ki koilech orev, when it's a voice of arevos, when it's a voice of kol Yisrael arevim zebazeh, and that, in my humble opinion, is Project Inspire. So really, let's thank them, because the more we do for them, the more and the better chance we stand of Hashmi'ini es koilech. Zokter Adamsker, it's only ki koilech orev, when your voice is one of caring, sharing, responsibility, and guaranteeing. And continues the Radomsker, which of the Gimel Avos can best teach us Arevus this ability to get along, this ability to show responsibility, better than anyone? It was Yankov Avinu. We know Yankov Avinu had the Shiftei Ka, and the Torah tells us, one has to understand it on the deepest level, the Torah tells us there was Sina and Kina amongst the Shiftei Ka, and Yaakov Avinu created Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Of the Gimel Avos, says the Radomsker, the one that can best teach Arevus, getting along, showing responsibility, is Yaakov Avinu. So nu, he says, is it any wonder? What's the name of the tefillah that Avram Avinu created? Shachris. Yitzchak, what did Yitzchak create? Mincha. And Yankiv, what did he create? It's not called Meiriv, it's called Arvis. Ask yourself, I see it's only 11:15 or 11:20. And so you may think, what is he talking about, a different hemisphere? When you leave the speech today, ask yourself, did I daven Arvis? Baruch Hashem, we're zoichet to daven Shachris, Mincha, and Meiriv. Who has a right to go to bed at night and put their head on the pillow without davening Arvis? Ask yourself every night that you say Kriya Shema Lamita, Shachris check, Mincha check, Meiriv check, how's my Arvis doing? That's the name of the tefillah of Yankov Avinu. And that is really what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us. Hashmi'ini es koilech. If we want our kol and our tefillos listened to B'siyata Dishmaya, Ki koilech orev, it happens when we have a voice of caring and sharing, guaranteeing and responsibility, because what's going on out there is most definitely our achrayus. And that's the way I understand Project Inspire. To create this arevus, to create this feeling of responsibility. So let's add to our checklist. I'll mention it more at the end of the speech. The only, or I should say the greatest way they've asked me, everyone, Rabbi Samson, Rabbi Trop, Cecilia, Yossi Friedman, they've all asked me repeatedly, there will be sign-up sheets. Don't leave the Heichal, the Beis Medrash, without putting your name, your address, your number, your email. That's the way for them to stay in touch with us. That's the way for Project Inspire to tell us how to proceed. That's our way of walking out and saying by signing, yes, today I davened Arvis. And Be'ezer Hashem, that's something we have to remember each and every day. Before we talk about the many reasons that, and I thought long and hard about it, that we should show our responsibility for the millions of our brothers and sisters who have no idea about what it means to be Shemrei Torah Mitzvahs, I thought to myself, how could you talk about others going ahead and influencing and injecting others with Yiddishkeit if you don't start by telling them the following? Perhaps it's best understood by way of a story about a mother who raised three sons very successfully. And when the mother turned 90, they wanted to go ahead and they wanted to thank their 90-year-old mother for raising three such prestigious families all across the globe. They each sent their mother a gift. And so the first son, we'll call him Baruch, he went ahead and he sent his mother the finest 2011 souped-up Lexus, Mamish with Alapichikas. He sends it to her. That's what Baruch sends 90-year-old mother. David goes ahead and has a contractor, an interior design and decorator go, and build for his 90-year-old mother the most palatial and exquisite and scintillating mansion you've ever seen. And that's what David sends. And Chaim knows that his 90-year-old mother is losing her eyesight, Nebuch, and she's a very learned woman, she likes to learn, so he finds a bird that has the ability to say the words of the Chumash, of Halacha, of Musar, Hashkafa, and this bird can talk so that the 90-year-old can listen even if she can't see. All three gifts are sent to, it's beautiful to look around the room and see so many familiar faces, all three are sent to the mother. Baruch, the car, David, the house, the mansion, and Chaim, the talking bird. And all three send back, she sends to them each a thank you letter. To Baruch, I needed a car? Vos hab ich mit a car? Where do I go already? I'm in my apartment, I go to the grocery, the Makolt, I come home, maybe a little bit in the garden, I have to worry about car payments? She says, David, a mansion I needed? You're going to make me so tzebrochen with the mansion? I go ahead and I clean a little dinette. I clean my bedroom and fartik. To clean 42 rooms, you're taking... What are you doing to me, David? And to Chaim, she sends back a thank you letter and she says, Dear Chaim, the chicken was delicious. Rabbi Isai, I think the first step to helping and being makar of others, to believing in yourself, and we're going to try to give some practical examples, the why, the when, the where, the how. I'm certainly not the Bucky Project Inspire is. I'm just going to share some of my thoughts. But in my humble opinion, nothing can start until we appreciate what we have. And I thought about this long and hard. You want to go ahead and get someone else to become a Shemrei Torah Mitzvahs? You want someone else to see the beauty of a Shabbos, the beauty of a Tzitzis, the beauty of a Sukkah, the beauty of Matzah, the beauty of whatever it might be? When is the last time you said to yourself, you know how grateful I am that I am a Shemrei Torah Mitzvahs? I'm not going to make anyone raise their hand. I probably have to raise my hand as well. When I speak to myself and I invite others to listen. Do we ever take it for granted? Do we ever take for granted our lifestyle? And are we any different than Chaim, the chicken was delicious? Do we ever take it for granted? Every time we walk to shul and we walk perhaps with a child or with a relative or another person and we share a vart, a dvar Torah, an insight into the parsha, We sit down and we sing Zmiras. We're in a sukkah. We light the menorah. We have Kabbalah Satira. We eat the matzah on Pesach. Are we just like that person, the chicken was delicious? Because I think it behooves us to stop. The first step to davening Arvis is saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't take it for granted. The fact that I'm here on Memorial Day, the fact that I'm here for Hakel and Project Inspire, the fact that I'm not Nebuch from the millions who don't know. I remember a couple of years ago, it just came to my mind now. I remember a couple of years ago, I had the schus, I was sent on behalf of Keren HaShvius to Eretz Yisrael. It was during the Shna Shemitah. And the job I had was literally to go from the south to the north of Eretz Yisrael and meet the chakla'im, meet the farmers, and ask those who became religious what inspired you. I just remembered now as I said these words that we're in here and they're not. I met one chakla'i, one farmer in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, and I said, tell me your story. Until the age of 40, he didn't know the first thing about Judaism. It sounded like Rebbe Akiva, I was shaking. And he said, one day he passed a shul, he tells me a synagogue, a Beis Knesses, and he looked in, and he saw that they were lifting up the Torah, we call that Hagbah. And he saw that the letters were written in Hebrew, I guess he was able to see from the window inside. And he must have asked somebody, what is that? And the person explained to him, that's Hebrew, and that's for you. And he realized they're lifting something that's in my language. And I didn't even know that that was my language. I didn't even know that that was written for me. And at the age of 40, this farmer decided to turn his life around. And I met him a few years later when he was a Shomer Shemitah. Do we have any idea how difficult that Nisayon is? We could spend now tens of hours talking about the people that I met during Shna Shemitah, the Nisayon. I remember meeting a farmer. He and his brother had 1,000 dunam, 500 dunam apiece. It's a large amount of land. One brother, I actually went with his brother to Moron Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zoller Gesund und Stark sein. This brother was able to become religious and to keep the Nisayon of Shemitah, and the other one wasn't. So imagine, Shtel Zachor, you have 500 and a line down and another 500. And here you have one who is a Shomer Shemitah and another who could not withstand the Nisayon. By the way, if I remember the story correctly, as an aside, it's worth mentioning. They told this farmer that I was with that Reb Chaim Kanievsky will come visit you. And he turned down the invitation, and when asked why, he said, because my other brother who's working the field, how is he going to feel that I'm getting a visit? And he couldn't pass the Nisayon, and he's not getting a visit. And I don't want to cause that tsar and that agony to my brother. So instead he came with me, and we went together to visit Moron Reb Chaim Zoller Gesund und Stark sein. So before we even talk about our responsibility, let's tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, not the chicken was delicious, how lucky I am that we were able to get up and say Moida'ani and to daven three times a day and to learn Torah and to go to a Daf Yomi, and that we're able to be in the workplace and we're able to be in a tzniyistic environment. Thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, because the first step to helping others is appreciating the gifts that you have. Rabbeisai, we can never take that for granted. The next thing I think we have to realize is how people are looking at us. And here I'm talking about Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael and the entire world. There's a very powerful Gemara, the Gemara is in Kedushin, where the Gemara says, Ha'ish mekadesh bayu b'shluchai, om Reb Yosef mitzvah bay yosemri b'shluchai. Literally what that means, that a man can make Kedushin to a woman, he can become engaged to a woman in one of two ways, bayu b'shluchai, himself or by sending a shliach. Omar Reb Yosef mitzvah bo yoser mi bishluchoi. You have a much greater effect, a mitzvah boy, more than your shliach. You do it. Don't send a messenger. One of my rabbeim from Montreal, the Jibo Dayan Rav Katz, Zoller Gesund und Stark sein, says something afla vefela, off the charts. Says the Jibo Dayan, you could read Al Pi Drush the Gemara like this. Ha ish mekadesh. A man can make a Kiddush Hashem. A man can affect another Yid in one of two ways. Boy u'bishluchoy. Your messengers, meaning your speeches, your talks, your discourses. Boy means you're eigen a presenlichkeit. You're the real deal. The way you walk, the presenlichkeit, the übergegebenkeit, the way you walk, the way you think, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you speak. Which asks the Jibodayin will have a greater effect on someone out there? Ha'ish Mekadesh, you can do bring that Kedusha one of two ways. Boy u'bishluchoy. Moirai v'ra boysai, which has a greater effect on people? Omar Reb Yosef, mitzvah boy, yoser mi bishluchoy. Avada, the speeches and the talks and the discourses are wonderful. But it doesn't come to the boy when somebody sees that we're the real deal. The ne'imus, the pleasantness, the menschlichkeit, the edelkeit. And remember, everybody's watching. Mitzvah boy, yoser mi bishluchoy. Avada, I'm not negating nor minimizing the power of a speech, chalila, or the power of affecting someone through words. But please remember, every time we walk out, or we're in the airport terminal, or we're walking in a supermarket, or in an amusement park, or on vacation, on holiday, on the street, on the avenue, wherever it might be, please remember, mitzvah boy, yoser mi bishluchoy. Our presenlichkeit, our persona, the way I walk, my demeanor, the way I talk, the way I dress, everything is being scrutinized. So let's inspire others, not only with the shliach, but more importantly with the boy. My wife, she shall live and be well, knows a woman in South Florida. Now the woman's in her mid-60s. A number of years ago, I don't know how the transit bus here is in New York, but in Florida it became, up until a number of years ago, when you became 5, only then did you have to pay. Until you were 5, you went free. A little boy was going on with his mother. The boy had turned 5 a number of months ago, but the mother wasn't interested in paying for the boy. He was 5, she's not interested in paying, so she tells the boy, listen, we're about to get on the bus. When the driver asks you how old you are, make sure you tell him you're 4 years old. He gets on the bus dutifully with his mother. The driver turns to the boy and says, little boy, how old are you? He says, I'm 4 years old. And he turns to the boy and says, and when will you be 5? He says, as soon as I get off the bus. I'm going to assume that this is water, not Iraq, because I still have a flight to catch in a few hours. Everybody's watching. And perhaps most importantly, our children are watching. And if you tell him he's 4, he'll be 4. And if you tell him he's 5, he'll be 5. But if we want to stand a chance of inspiring our children, inspiring the brothers and sisters who have no idea what's going on in this room, then it all begins by the boy. Us being the real deal. The way we walk, talk, behave, think, dress, and everything that we do. And that comes on the heels of appreciating all the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. You know, when Yaakov Avinu is talking to Yosef, he tells Yosef, I would like you to please check on the welfare of your brothers and their sheep, and I'd like to quote you the pasuk. I'd like to introduce this pshat by telling you, I told Rabbi Samson when I was walking in, this is one of the most powerful pshatim I am aware of. And perhaps this can become the mantra for Project Inspire. It's not my pshat, so I'm certainly not saying it in a haughty way at all. I don't remember whose pshat it is. But let this be the mantra for Tfilas Arvis. Yaakov Avinu was talking to Yosef and he says, check on Shaloim Achecha and Shaloim Hatzain. Now we know the Torah HaKdosha does not use an extra word, an extra letter, an extra nakuda. Nothing in the Torah is extra. So why does it say the word Shaloim twice? Shaloim Achecha and again Shaloim Hatzain? Why not say once? Yosef HaTzadik. Go check on Shaloim Achecha v'tzayin, how your brothers and their sheep are doing. What's with the extra word Shaloim Achecha and again Shaloim Atzayin? Let's open our hearts to this answer. I'm only sorry I don't remember whose pshat it is. If you do, feel free to tell me after the drasha. Yaakov Avinu was telling Yosef, but essentially he was talking to every one of us. Every single one of us. My tire Yosef and Klal Yisrael, I want you to know, There's something in life called Shalom Achecha, and there's something in life called Shalom Hatzoin. One is peace for the sheep, and one is peace for your brothers. And I want you to know, Yosef, what will count and do for Shalom Hatzoin is unacceptable for Shalom Achecha. You know what it means for sheep to be at peace with each other? I have my grass to graze with. Don't bother me. So you don't? But that has nothing to do with me. You're you and I'm me. I'm content because I have my pasture here, my grass, a little bit to graze, to drink. That type of peace is acceptable for sheep. Zok Yankiv Avinu. It's totally unacceptable for Klal Yisrael. They're Shalom Hatzoin and they're Shalom Achecha. Shalom Hatzoin means that this one has, the other doesn't, but you're not my issue or concern. Shalom Achecha means, if you don't have, do I really have? If you can't sleep at night, can I really sleep at night? Can any of us do that? None of us are callous. None of us are insensitive. None of us have a mean or cruel bone in our body. Shalom Hatzoin is good for sheep. Shalom Achecha means if you don't have, I cry myself to sleep at night. And so to extrapolate and take that vart a little bit further, vis-a-vis Project Inspire, we know what we have. And we know that we're Shomrei Torah u'Mitzvos. We know the beauty of a Shabbos, the beauty of Zmirois, the beauty of a Kol Nidre. We know it. But if they don't, are we really satisfied? Can we really sleep peacefully at night and say, I have Shalom Achecha? If so many of our co-workers, so many of the people we interact with daily, so many of the people living on my block to my left and my right have never experienced the Shabbos Kodesh, that's good for sheep. It's unacceptable for Klal Yisrael. And maybe that's another impetus of why I'm not asking, I'm truly begging that when we leave here in a little while, hopefully being inspired, everyone will take the sign-up sheet I think will be met outside. Don't leave, or around here, thank you for telling me. Don't leave, oh, I was looking the whole time for the clock there, I couldn't see here, I see they put it over here. I'd feel worse if someone just put it here now in the middle of the speech. You know, they say you're speaking too long if people stop merely looking at their watch but start shaking it. So, I was given, I changed my flight from 1:20 to 3:15, so you're in for it. Don't leave without signing. Daven Arvis. Everybody. We can't do Shalom Hatzoin. It's got to be Shalom Achecha. Because if they don't know, my co-workers, my neighbor down the block, the people that I buy and shop from daily, the non-religious proprietor of the store, am I really at peace with myself? I said when I was preparing this talk, I wanted to make a realistic goal. I didn't think I was going to say it till the end of the drasha, but maybe now is the time. What if together between the men and the women upstairs, and I know they're listening downstairs as well, let's say we have 300, 400, 500 listening to tapes and different things. If everyone would take upon themselves this year, besides signing, the signing is so that Project Inspire knows where to contact you and how to contact you. And as I understood from Yossi Friedman, let's say you have a question. What do I tell a coworker? How do I go ahead and proceed? They'll guide you. They'll guide you effortlessly through the process. Imagine if every person here would take a Kabbalah B'li Neder. This year, by next Memorial Day, Be'ezras Hashem will be in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh with Mashiach in the third Beis HaMikdash. If everyone would take upon themselves this year, men, women, to try to be Makarev, and we're going to speak about what Makarev means in a few minutes. People think it means that I have to have the end result, that it's a Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Of course, that's beautiful, but it's step by step. The power of one. Did anybody notice the title of today's talk? the power of On Lekach Netzarta, and you'll hear why in a minute. If everybody would take upon themselves, not 20, but 2, I will try to work with 2 or 3 people, the neighbor, the co-worker, the place that I shop. I'm not going to shy away from them, because I know what to answer. And I know, invite them for a suda, perhaps send them whatever, the Chanukah candles or matzah, whatever it might be. If hundreds of us would do that for 2 or 3 people over the course of the year, and they in turn would inspire others, in 10 years we'd be dealing with staggering numbers of thousands upon thousands of families, Yiddish mishpachas. We can't afford not to. So take a realistic goal, b'li neder, of 2 or 3. I'm not asking, I'm begging. Take the people, learn from the people of Project Inspire, ask Rabbi Samson, Rabbi Trapp, what do I do? They'll tell you, Echzogdir, they'll tell you. We could change the face of Klal Yisrael. Remember, sheep are satisfied if they have. But for us, if someone doesn't have, and I, if someone doesn't have, and I do, it's clear that I don't really have. My father, Harav Mordechai Shapiro, I'm going to quote now 2 pshatim from him, 2 of his favorite pshatim, Harav Mordechai Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. There's a well-known Gemara that speaks about someone named Yeshua ben Gamla. And the Gemara says about Yeshua ben Gamla, remember him for eternity, latoiv. Remember him for good. Zok the Gemara, why? Because il mole Reb Yeshua ben Gamla, had it not been for Reb Yeshua ben Gamla, Torah would be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. What did Reb Yeshua ben Gamla do? He set up a yeshiva system for Yesoimim. Nebuch, there were Yesoimim, there were orphans who weren't able to learn. Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla set up a yeshiva system for them, and if it would not have been for him, Torah would have been forgotten. My father, Zatzal, asked such a penetrating question. How could you say that if not for Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, Torah would have been forgotten? Let's take a poshut mathematical computation. There are 100 kinderlach. 90 have fathers. 10 don't. 10 are Yesoimim. How could you say that if there's no yeshiva system for Yesoimim, Torah would be forgotten for eternity? Torah would vaxois and Torah would carry on with the 90 who are learning with their tatis, and the other 10 would fall by the wayside. Il mole hu nishtakach Torah mi Yisrael? What do you mean? Torah would vaxois with the other 90? I hear my father's words ringing in my ears. If 90 fathers can sit down and learn with their kinderlach, but be apathetic to the other 10, if they could let the Yesoimim fall by the wayside and not teach them Torah, I hear his words, and this is a quote, then their Torah with their own children is imperfect, and imperfect Torah will never, ever have Nitzchias. And that's what the Gemara means. If he did not set up the yeshiva system for the other 10 to remove the apathy, Torah would have been forgotten. Because if I could learn with mine but not care about the other, that's imperfect. And imperfect Torah will never, ever survive. Torah has to be zach. Torah has to be rain. Without sediments, without impediments, b'li shmarim, Torah has to be shemen zayizach. And that is why, if I could learn with my own, but not care about teaching or learning with someone else, then what I'm doing is imperfect. And I have no right to only care about my own. That's Shalem Hatzayin, that's not Shalem Achecha. And so, let us be like Reb Yeshua ben Gamla. Let us go ahead and inspire others. Perhaps this is a type of speech we've heard so many times before. But eventually, we really believe in ourselves. We can make a colossal difference. Sometimes when I'll speak on this topic, I might meet a person who will say, but I am not a professional. And I don't know Dam Alohoshiv, I don't know what to answer. And I shy away because I don't know and I don't know. Rabboisai, you don't know how powerful we are. You don't know how unique each and every one of us. The power of one, the power that we have. Listen to a pshat from my father's atzal, you'll hear it once, you'll never forget it. I'm looking around, some people are familiar with the pshat, they've heard it from me before. It's kedai to say again. If you take a look in the Haftarah of Parshas Paro, it uses the word neshama. Neshama means to have a soul and to be alive. Take a look in the Haftarah of Parshas Paro, it uses the word, or a variation thereof, neshama. Neshama means void, barren, desolate. How can it be? How can it be that two words, neshama and neshama, both are virtually identical? Nun, shin, mem, hey. Nun, shin, mem, hey. The same letters, almost the same nekudos. How could it be that neshama means to be alive, and neshama is the antithesis? Neshama means to be pulsing with life, and neshama means void and barren. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. You have to watch my hands to appreciate the vart. There's a difference between the letter under the shin of the nekuda under the shin of neshama and neshama. Under the shin of neshama is a kamatz which looks like this. Under the shin of neshama is a patach, which is with this line removed. The only difference between a kamatz and a patach is a patach is like this, but a kamatz has a little support. And the only difference between neshama and neshama is a little support. Without support, without anybody ever knowing that we care about them, that we think about them, life is one of neshama. Speak to the brothers and the Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael who think that we're not looking or turning to them. Neshama, if I don't have support, how can I know what to do? Add a little support. Add support and you create from neshama, you create neshama. And that's where I think Project Inspire steps in. Project Inspire is creating neshamos in Klal Yisrael. We have to walk out of here davening Arvis. We have to walk out of here with Shalei Machecha. We have to walk out of here like Rabbi Shua ben Gamla. We have to walk out of here appreciating all the gifts that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us. We have to walk out of here believing in ourselves. A little support can change the world. A little support is the difference between neshama and neshama. I want to tell you a maisa that happened. This maisa happened to me. It started in January. I may have said it over a few weeks ago on Shabbos, but I got an update a week ago Wednesday night. To me, I'll be honest with you, it is a life-changing maisa. Ad ve'ad bechlal. A life-changing maisa. Maisa shehoya kachoya. Here's how it happened. In January, my wife and I took one of our children to a restaurant. I don't want to say, because of some things I'll say, I don't want anyone to be recognized. One, a melchik restaurant somewhere in South Florida. I think it was January and this daughter just finished midterms. So we said, let's go for like a brunch. The three of us went. And we're sitting at the table here. Maybe the other end of the restaurant is approximately where that bookshelf is. And all of a sudden we hear a commotion. This is the part of the story that I am mortified and very embarrassed, ashamed to say over. There was a group of women that were at the table. And there was a waiter who was waiting on them. He looked like an Israeli in his young 20s. I could see non-religious. And they were, I actually told Yossi Friedman, I don't know, hopefully he'll hear this. When he asked me to speak for Project Inspire, I said, I want to do it, if for nothing else, just for this maisa. Which means if until now you were thinking about videoing me like the seventh game, this is kedai to listen to. They were yelling at the waiter. It was a bizarre. They were yelling, they were from a different country, and they were yelling, where we come from when we order an early lunch, it comes with a hot drink and a cold drink. What do you mean, or, not and? And they ordered a dish. I'm not making any of this up. I was so embarrassed. I tell you till today, and I ask, I don't know that I was right for staying in my seat. I probably should have gotten up and walked over. I know many, I perhaps should have, either as a rov or just a fellow person in the kehillah, and told these women, it was just a chilul Hashem of the highest caliber. No one should be spoken to that way. And then they yelled that there's a dish that they got that it didn't have enough cheese, so they started berating him, this isn't cheese, and we want more cheese. They mamish turned them into a shmata. Terrible. I didn't get up, but it was a bizayon. The Maisa ends. This kid does not say a word. In his young 20s, he doesn't answer back. Not a word. Not a word. He sits. He looks like he's crying. He doesn't say a word. My wife turns to me after a few minutes and she says, Ephraim, you always say over based on the Gemara and Shabbos and based on Reb Chaim Kanievsky that if someone's humiliated and embarrassed and they don't answer back, they have the power to give a bracha. That is a whole schmooze in and of itself that I have. Really, we could talk about probably till the next legal holiday. But if you don't answer back and you're mortified and humiliated and embarrassed and you stay silent, you have the power to give bracha. So my wife said, call him over and ask him for a bracha. So at this point, I tell the oilam, you always listen to your wife. So I did exactly that. But it was brilliant advice. I called him over. I said, what's your name? He said, Shoam. That's his name. Shoam, a young Israeli. Shoam. My name is Rabbi Shapir. I'm a rav in the community. This is my wife, my daughter. Please go ahead and give me a bracha. I said, Shoam, you stayed silent. You have the power. Give me a bracha. And I told him, Berocho bitcha ktana, what bracha we wanted. And he gave the bracha, and we answered a resounding amen. And he was moved to tears that I asked him for a bracha. He leaves. He comes back 5 minutes later. Rabbi Shapir, I'd like to open up to you a little bit. I'm not religious at all. My wife, he was newly married, not religious at all. I have a family in Eretz Yisrael, very Haredi, very religious, very religious. I grew up that way. Until I was six, I started to learn. But once I started Mishnayos, Pirkei Avos, it wasn't for me. And for approximately the next 15 years, I left. I went off the derech. I have nothing to do with that life anymore. Rabbi Shapiro, you called me over and believed in me. You called me over and you asked me to give you a bracha. I feel like I'd like to turn my life around and return to my roots. Could you please get me a chavrusa, someone to learn at least twice a week? Because I'm ready to turn my life around. I didn't know what to do with myself. I asked him for his number. I went out of the restaurant. I called one of the younger light we have in our kollel, Reb Aaron David Singer, a choshev, a beautiful younger man. I said, Reb Aaron David, there's someone who's not religious who has a fire lit. You learn with so many people, you ask a busy person, they'll always get it done. Can you learn with him twice a week? I will move to the end of the story. This was in January. I got an update since the Shabbos we were together from 2 weeks ago Wednesday. Reb Aaron David told me, for the last 4 or 5 months, he and Shoam learn twice a week in the kollel every week. The time sometimes is different. Sometimes he has a night job, they work during, learn during the day. Sometimes he has a day job, they learn twice a week. You want me to give you an update, Rabbi Isai? Project Inspire. You listening? I'll give you an update. Shoam is religious. His wife is religious. They keep Shabbos, Kedasu, Kedin. And as of this recent Wednesday night, I told her, Byron David, I'm saying over the mice and give me an update. He told me, he goes to Shiurim, she goes to Shiurim. They keep the laws of Taras and Mishpacha. They're keeping Mamish, all the halachos, and on, they're becoming inspired. Maisa Shahaya, Kachaya. Now here's the upshot of that story. Do you know how many times I've gone to bed at night and I have asked myself, what if I would not have gone over to Shoam? What if I wouldn't have listened to the advice about asking him for a bracha? All I did was ask him for a bracha. What if I wouldn't have done that? You mean that today he wouldn't be religious, she wouldn't be religious, they wouldn't be keeping Shabbos, they wouldn't be keeping Taras and Mishpacha, and their children at 8 o'clock? What, you mean that? But because I gave a little support, because I gave 30 seconds of my time to show someone, I recently saw a quote, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You mean he now knows how much I care? Like I ask myself at night, is this for real? He shomer Shabbos, she shomer Shabbos. They're leading a life, they'll raise children at 8 o'clock, they'll marry from. And generations were forever changed because I called the guy over and I said, give me a bracha. For me, it was a life-changing experience. No one has a right to say that they can't make a difference. A little support. We said earlier, you may not always see the payers so quickly. Shomer Shabbos overnight. Yossi Friedman told me a great maisa. I said, do I have rishus to use it? It's such a gem. He told me about someone who was on a plane about to put on tefillin. He turns to the neighbor who's next to him. He's a yid. And he says, do you want to put on tefillin? He says, no, that's not for me. Okay, he asked. And the guy goes to the back of the plane. He davens. He comes back and he sees that that guy is sitting wearing someone else's pair of tefillin. So he says, you know what? I don't know if you knew about Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. He says, like, I gave you a pair you didn't want. Like, what's up? You're wearing tefillin now. He says, I'll tell you. You asked me. I thought I wasn't ready. But when you left, you got me thinking the last time I put it on was by my bar mitzvah. And I was thinking that maybe I should be doing it. So when you asked me, I wasn't ready, but you got me thinking. And so now, 20 minutes later, when someone else offered it, I was indeed ready. And that's why I'm putting on tefillin. We have to do our hishtadlus. We have to go ahead and make the effort. We have to go ahead and try. Maybe we'll see the payers as quickly as Shoam. Maybe we'll see the payers as quickly as the yid on the airplane. Maybe we won't see it for a while. But it's our achrayis to daven tefillas arvis. It's our achrayis mitzvah boy. It's our achrayis to create a neshama. It's our achrayis to be Reb Yeshua ben Gamla. It's our achrayis to let people know that we care. And we can do it. Just ask Shoam. So the next time you pass that person that maybe we've avoided until now because we didn't know what to answer, stop. Become more educated by Project Inspire. With your reshus, I want to end with a quick Dvar Torah and one Maisa. You know that the topic is the power of one, Ki Lekach Natzarta. I think we've explained clearly the power of one to believe in ourselves and our ability to affect others. But now is the reason for Ki Lekach Natzarta. This is a pshat I saw a few months ago from the Radomskir Rebbe. Im lamadata toira harbe al tachazik toiva la'atzmacha ki lekach natzarta. Everyone teaches that to mean if you learned a lot of toira, al tachazik toiva la'atzmacha, don't think you're so special, don't think you're all that ki lekach natzarta. That's why you were created. Let's open our hearts to a pshat from the Radomskir Rebbe. And when I saw this pshat, actually, you know, like the Duvna Magid, sometimes you throw the arrow and then draw the bullseye around it. I saw this pshat and I said, maybe they'll ask me to speak for a Kiev organization. I got called the next week. Zokter Radomskir Rebbe, Im lamadata toira harbe. You lead a life of toira? You know the beauty of toira? Al tachazik toiva la'atzmacha. Then don't hold that beauty for yourself. You have no right to hold that beauty la'atzmacha for yourself. Im lamadata toira harbe. If you're in this room on Memorial Day, if you know the beauty of toira, al tachazik toiva la'atzmacha. Don't hold the gem of Yiddishkeit. Don't hold the beauty of toira and mitzvahs la'atzmacha for yourself. But rather, share it. Share it with everyone. Share it with Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. But remember, we have no right, al tachazik toiva la'atzmacha, to withhold the goodness and be selfish for ourselves. Share the wealth. Share the beauty. Do you know how far ni'imus, pleasantness, menschlichkeit, edelkeit, caring can go? Al tachzik toiv la'atzmecha, share it with the entire world. In 1951, my father was walking in Tel Aviv on an Erev Shabbos down a wide boulevard called Rehov Allenby. And his attention was caught by a person who was selling some items, soda, some goods, in a green wooden kiosk. I'm seeing from people smiling, perhaps a number know this Maisa. I know many people say over this story, but I have this chus since it happened with my father. Obviously, I'm aware of every nuance, every gedank, every pitch of the way it happened, so I can say it over Baruch Hashem with the authenticity that my father did. He's walking down the wide boulevard of Rehov Allenby, and his attention is caught by this yid. He goes across the street in Erev Shabbos, and he sees that it's an alta yid whose mom is chuckling like this. He goes closer and he sees that the yid is learning from Mishnayis Meiser Sheni. The yid never takes his eyes out of the sefer. Somebody comes over to make a purchase. He takes the money. He gives the item. He gives him the change. He gives him a bag. He never stops learning. This is not a poshet yid. Someone comes over to purchase cigarettes. The man says, this old yid says, what time is it? It was a quarter after 12. Slicha imkein. Ani lo mocher cigariot achrei chatzot b'erev Shabbat. He's afraid if he sells the cigarettes, the person will smoke them chalil on Shabbos. There will be a desecration of Shabbos. My father was nishtoiming from this yid, not a poshita person. He goes over to this yid and he introduces himself. He tells him his name, Mordechai Shapiro. What's your name? Yankel Ochsenkrug. Yankel Ochsenkrug asks my father, where are you from? America. Where do you learn? Lakewood. Who's your Rosh Hashiva? Reb Aaron Kotler. And he turns to my father and says, and I quote, Nu, was is geworden von ihm? What became of Reb Aaron? So my father looks, Reb Aaron, the Sar HaTorah, the Prince of the Torah world. The world is changed forever because of Reb Aaron and what he brought to America. Why are you asking? And as the man hears the way my father's talking about Reb Aaron, he's crying. And he's thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he says, I'll tell you why. Because many, many years ago, I was a butcher in Minsk. And as a butcher, I didn't always have a chance to learn as much as I wanted. So I used to set aside a kopeka for every pound of meat that I sold. A pound, a kopeka. Another pound, another kopeka. And after I filled up many, many jars of kopekas, one kopeka at a time, the power of one, I went to the local cheder, and I went to the head of the cheder, and I said, please find two Iluyisha Bochrim, two Iluyisha young boys, promising young boys, use my kopekas and send them to Slabotka. And one of the two who went with my kopekas was Arkula Svislitzer. Arkula is the name for a baron from the city of Svislitz. So hearing that he went with my kopekas to Slabotka and subsequently changed the world, that's why I'm crying. In South Florida, we had the privilege many winters, the Pikeach Hador, Reb Yankiv Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, would spend part of the winters in the Sovereign Hotel in South Florida, Miami Beach. And Wednesday evening, he would eat supper in the home of my parents. One Wednesday evening, my father was with Reb Yankiv in the home by us, and he recounted the entire mice of Yankel Ochsenkrug and how two Bochrim went with Yankel Ochsenkrug's kopikas. And how Reb Aaron went, and Reb Yankiv turned to my father and said, yes, Reb Mordecha, that's exactly the way the Maisa goes. And I know that, because I was the second Bocher. I was the second Bocher. The power of one. One kopeka and another kopeka, and it created a Reb Yankiv and a Reb Aaron. And it changed the face of the world forever.